Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
What is heaven like? I think every Christian has asked that question at some point in time in their life. What truly is heaven like? And we're compelled to ask that question when we read sacred scripture, when we receive the sacraments, when we go to Mass, or when we have the impending death of a loved one. We think of heaven and what it is like. And what are the images that we have of heaven? Images of God, the angels, the saints, maybe of our relatives that have passed on from this world to the next. The image of paradise. In the gospel for this weekend, Jesus gives us a great image. It's the image of a house. In fact, it's God the Father's house. Now, as I always say, in order for us to understand the scripture passage, we have to understand the context in which it all is set in. Right now, Jesus Christ is in the upper room, celebrating the Last Supper with his apostles. He is preparing them for his impending death. That's why he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith also in me." Jesus wants to protect the apostles from the despair at the sight of his death. More to it, Jesus also wants to protect the apostles from discouragement when they face persecution themselves. What we have to understand is only the peace of God that surpasses all understanding can calm our anxieties about death. Jesus is trying to reassure the apostles, and now us, that our death is simply a doorway to a new and eternal life with Christ. Now notice how the gospel continues. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If there are not, what I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you." The implication here, Christ has prepared a place for all of us who believe in Jesus and have kept the faith. He continues, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you there myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you may know the way." Here, Jesus is telling us there's appointed time for everyone, every affair under the heavens, as Ecclesiastes writes. And at the appointed time, Christ himself will come back. Christ himself will be our personal guide to heaven. Now, if that doesn't calm our anxieties or our fears of death, I don't know what will. And so what are we to make of this? Well, first and foremost, I think it's imperative to keep this as our ultimate goal. Heaven must be the ultimate goal in our life. Now, we all have goals. Maybe the goal of losing weight, the goal of getting that promotion at work, the goal of making money, fame, fortune, notoriety, whatever they may be. The ultimate goal in our life always must be heaven. There must be no other goal greater than heaven in this world. St. John Chrysostom once said, "We are all resident aliens in our world, and therefore we must keep our eyes, our heart, mind, and soul fixated on the world to come." What he meant by resident aliens was that our citizenship does not belong in this world. Instead, our true citizenship belongs in heaven. Heaven is our true homeland. It's the world we are all tending to. Therefore, it must be our ultimate goal in life. Now, don't make the mistake in saying, "Well, all right, I believe that. We must be fixated on heaven. Therefore, I must divest myself from this world." On the contrary, when we have heaven as our ultimate goal, when we are fixated on that goal, then we are compelled to engage the world with a deep passion. great example of this are the saints. If you read any of the biographies of the saints, you see them first constantly fixated on the goal. Their heart, their mind, their soul is always fixated on heaven. And yet, they are constantly and passionately engaged in the world. Engaged in the world by tending to or caring for the sick and the dying, like Mother Teresa. Engaged in the world by educating poor children, like St. Catherine Drexel. Or engaged passionately in the world by uniting a fractured church, like St. Catherine of Siena. The saints engaged the world with a passion, and that's what made them who they are. There's a great Vatican II document called Gaudium et Spes. Document specifically says, the duty of all Catholics is to engage the world and bring God to all people in the world. See, that's exactly what Jesus is challenging us towards the latter end of the gospel. Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do works that I do. Well, we must engage the world, always keeping our heart, mind, and soul fixated on the goal. So you say to yourself, okay, how can I do both? It seems like it's a difficult balance to make. On the contrary, both build upon each other. Let me give you an analogy to help you understand. It's the analogy of a full moon. A full moon at night is completely lit up. We go out in the middle of the night and we look into the stars and we see the moon completely filled with light, giving off so much light that it radiates down to Earth, such that we can relatively safely navigate in the middle of the night. We can see rocks and trees and cars and houses, and we can successfully and safely navigate, walk wherever we want to. Now, the moon, we know, does not produce light. The light that's coming from the moon is not produced from the moon. The moon is a dead planet. It's a rock. The light that radiates from the moon is the sun. The sun is the source. It shines upon the moon. And in doing so, the moon reflects the light from the sun onto the earth. And therefore, a darkened world is now radiated with the light from the sun. Now hold on to that image and apply it to Jesus Christ when he says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. Yes, we must always keep our eyes fixated on the goal of heaven, because we are resident aliens in this world. We don't belong in this world. Our true homeland is heaven. And yet we cannot forget our duty. We are compelled to engage the world passionately. How do we do that? By being good stewards of the many gifts we've been given, by sharing our time, talent, and our treasure, not for our own good, but for the good of others. Paul calls these gifts in 1 Corinthians charisms, and we all have them. Whether it's the gift of accounting, whether it's the gift of medicine, law, whether it's the gift of carpentry as an electrician or plumber, whatever it is, we all have gifts from God, and we use them for the express purpose of building the kingdom of heaven here in this world. We use them for the express purpose so that others may benefit from them rather than ourselves. And what's the implication? When we are good stewards of the many gifts we've been given, when we share those gifts for others to benefit, then we act exactly like the moon. We radiate the presence of God in our life. Regardless of whatever we do, whatever we volunteer for, either at our parish or in the community, we perform works of charity, compassion, love, and justice. And like the moon, we radiate the presence of God in our life. Now, do we produce that light? No, we are human beings. The light that we radiate is divine, comes from God and God alone. God is the source of that light. But when we do those works of charity, when we are good stewards of the many gifts we've been given and share those gifts for others to benefit by, then we, like the moon, we reflect the presence of God in our life. And people will see that light. They'll see that reflection, just like the earth is illuminated A darkened world, the earth, is illuminated in the middle of the night by a full moon. So do we illuminate people's lives with the presence of God when we do good works, works of charity, works of good stewardship. See, then people will see that light. They'll be reminded of the ultimate goal, heaven, and they themselves will now be compelled to be like us and passionately engage the world. Friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week. Read John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. This gospel passage reminds us of our ultimate goal, heaven. We, like the saints, must keep our eyes, our heart, our mind, and our soul fixated on the goal. And in doing so, we are compelled to passionately engage the world by being good stewards of the many gifts we've been given. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.